Alpitaira, and also the Taikin of a will, Alpitaira. The parsha of Yerusha, first of all, we just mentioned, Le'ili Nishmas, Alti Yitzchak ben Shloim Elimelech, Gross, and Rochel Leah Basrab Chaim Tzvi Skydel. The parsha in Pinchas writes the halachas of Yerusha, and it says, Vel b'nei Yisrael t'daber lemer, Ish ki yomus ubein ein loy. If a person dies and he has no son, va'avartem es nachlosei levitei, then his daughter inherits. V'im ein loy bas unesatem es nachlosei le'echov, and if there's no daughter, then the inheritance goes to the brother. Now, everything is not clear in Pasuk, but with Perush Shabbat Peh we know the ones who are Yairish Alpitaira are the sons. Daughters do not inherit. And the halacha is even the daughter, if the son has a daughter and he passes away, the daughter of the son inherits and not the daughter of the one of the father, meaning there's a father, son and a daughter. The son has a daughter and the son passes away and leaves a daughter, that daughter inherits. And the halacha is a husband inherits a wife does not inherit a husband. A son inherits a mother does not inherit a son. A brother through the father inherits, a sister or a brother through the mother does not inherit. So you can see that the halachas of Yerusha al-Pidin Torah are drastically different than the halachas which we find in secular society. Surely there's no difference between sons and daughters in all secular societies, and surely a mother and a father have the same rights. So al-Pidin, the halachas of Yerusha are totally different. Now, if a person passes away and doesn't have a will, obviously the courts and the secular law would have the daughter and the son inherit equally. And Kimat all Paiskim would say, if there is no agreement, if the son says, sister, it's my pleasure to let you have part of the Yerusha, of course there's no problem. But if the son does not want that to happen, it is Kimat all Paiskim Gzela in the hands of the daughter. Now, some say that you could argue dina de machusa dina, which happens to be a concept which already the Rishonim write is mavucha gadoila. It's tremendous confusion to decide when you say dina de machusa dina. And in fact, I saw in the Sefer bring down a Maisa Shehoya. There was a Acher in Ramosha Benavisti. You heard of him? What year did he live in? Maybe 300 years ago.
More.
And there was a fellow who passed away, and he left a son, Reuven, and a daughter, Dina. And they went to a Din Torah, and the Pesach Paskin didn't have Malchus Dina. Later on, when the son inquired more, they went to this Ramosha Ben Avisti. He said, Din Malchus Dina and Yerusha can't be. There's no such Din of Malchus applying to Yerusha, which we'll give a little explanation in a moment. So they went to the Din Torah again. They made a Pshara. Three quarters to the son, a quarter to the daughter. And then he got advice and he says, what do you need a pshara for? There's no din of the machus in Yerusha. So they went to another din tire and he says his pshara, his kinyan was betoyus because he got wrong information, wrong counsel, that he has to have a pshara. And they opened up the din tire again. But kemat all paiskim say that din of the machus din does not apply to Yerusha. And the reason is, number one, there are some paiskim hold din of the machus dina only applies to certain areas of mamonis that the government has a special interest. For instance, taxes. Less monopolig, the government could create a chayv of taxes because of din of the machus dina, currency regulations. But if they're creating something that is not really in a very narrow interest of the government, there's no din of the machus dina. Furthermore, even if there is din of the machus dina, let's say on bein adam lechaver, what constitutes a kinyan, what constitutes a transaction, but that's only on things that concern commerce that society needs in order to function. But Yerusha is viewed as something private, between the person who passed away and his heirs. No din of the machusa on that. Yeah.
Because there's clearly a law, at least in New York State, regarding spouse.
No, right. But I'm saying, but there is definitely laws regarding Yerusha, but din of the machusa doesn't apply when it comes to Yerusha.
What about estate taxes?
Estate taxes are fine. As far as din of the machusa goes.
No, but there's an impact as to how you divvy up the estate tax.
Well, what's the difference whether someone gets it in terms of the amount of the estate taxes?
Who gets it, and in terms of the amount?
But I assume, you know, that's something secondary. In other words, the government didn't create the laws of Yerusha based upon the estate taxes that it'll generate. They based it upon the fairness in their eyes. So the basic premise of Yerusha, which is Alp secular law, is against Torah law. And thirdly, one could argue that you say dinu machusa dinu when it's not connected to the Torah. Meaning to say, let's say for instance, there's a certain transaction that Alp Torah doesn't apply. And then the Malchus says it happens to be a good transaction. The Torah wasn't against it. There's nothing against the Ruach HaTorah. The Torah didn't give such a kenyan. Comes along the government and it creates such a kenyan. But Yerusha, we'll see, is not only a mumnistic halacha, but it's the Torah's ratzon that the Yerusha should fall in the way it falls, Alpi Torah. So therefore, dinu machusa dinu can be viewed not only as involving itself in something purely financial, but also involving itself in something that has implications in the ratzon haTorah. But whatever the reason is, it's kemat muskim and all the paiskim going back to the Rishonim. The Rajva speaks about it, and there's an expression from one of the Rishonim, I think it's the Rajva, you think you'll say dinu machusa dinu on Yerusha, in came bok l'kol haTorah. Dinu machusa can't creep and change every law of the Torah. He says you'll have no Torah left. Down to the Paiskim, the contemporary Paiskim, they don't give any credibility to dinu machusa as far as Yerusha goes. So if a person passes away and does not leave a will, Kimat all Paiskim will say that it has to be divided al pi Torah, and the laws of the state, the laws of the land, don't have an effect. Now let me just mention something which you should bear in mind throughout these halachas. If someone will come along and say, listen, I'll be simach on the shita that din of the machusa applies by Yerusha, even though, as I say, really it happens to be a shita that doesn't enjoy much support at all, but it's not up to one person to decide what he is going to do in this case, because obviously it involves another person. So you may decide what you want, but if there's another person over here, that other person will take the other Yairish to a din Torah, what you decide is irrelevant. So obviously a person has to be prepared to create something that is beyond question, not only in halacha for himself, but obviously that enjoys support throughout all what they did him, that there wouldn't be any problems.
Can a will take precedence over the halacha?
What?
Can a will take precedence?
Well, we're going to talk. That's what we're going to talk about. So that's talking about the halacha of the halacha of Yerusha without a will, that din of the machusa dina has no effect according to Ruba de Ruba Paiskim. Now, what about a will? How do we view a will al pi Torah? Now, if you look at a will and you say, really, it's just an extension of the laws of inheritance, it's not really a vehicle that does the transaction. But the law of the land says that you divide it according to son, daughter, if there is no will. And if there is a will, then you have the law of the land respects the will. And it's really just an extension of Yerusha. So therefore we're going to be in the same boat, and the will have no taken. If you view a will as actually something that is machna, that gives over your property to the inheritors, to the Yarshim, maybe there's a makom to say that a will can help and din of the machusa, because you're really not having the halacha of Yerusha present. What you're having here is a vehicle of haknah, and it's very possible you could create a vehicle of haknah through din of the machusa. Now, other than Ramesha, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who in the Chuvin Evan Ezer and Simon Kuv Dalid writes that in his opinion, really, din of the machusa cannot help, even if you view a will as a vehicle to be machna, because it's chal after Misa. And if it's chal after Misa, so therefore, din of the machusa cannot help something be chal after Misa. He says, however, L'daita, he brings a Gemara, a very complicated Igris Moshe. You could look in Kuf Dal and Evan Ezer. He says, since it's B'shas Misa, and there's a Dida Machusa, it could help without a Kenyan, with Deber Ba'alma. It's a complicated truth. If I understood it 100%, I would try to give it over, but I do not. And he writes, Zetam Godol, Lama Sheb Eretz Hazais, Noyagim Lismach Al Tzavos Keilu, Ve'en Chayshim Likach Hamayis, Vim Kiloi Nochluzet, obviously the people who abided by the will didn't think of Ramayish's Torah, because only he could think of his Torah. He says, Im Einam Neviim, B'nei Neviim Hei. If they are not prophets, they are children of prophets. So Ramesha seems to give credibility to a will. But that's only with the will, based on his raya from a Gemara in Baba Basra, that if a person makes a tzavah, and it's supposed to be chal b'shas misa, so therefore it can work al pi din Torah. But he says, din machusa, that should be chal after misa, it cannot help. Mistabra din machusa does not help. So according to Ramesha, we're going a little bit ahead of the whole shir. He sort of gives credibility to the will, and he claims a lot of people depend on wills. They don't know why they depend on wills, but he suggests the reason why they can depend on wills. However, most of the other Paiskim do not give credibility to the wills as a vehicle to be machna. They are chaylik. I saw Rabbi Yashiv Zayin Gesund. He writes, he's quoted in the Sefer, he says, Ein lecha tekev. The will has no power to be machna, and presumably, because if it's going to work as a halach of Yerusha, in Yerusha is not in the machusa, if it's working as a vehicle to be machna, it's liachar misa. The question is, did the machusa could create maybe a shtar, even though I'll be the entire time a shtar, but could did the machusa allow someone to be machna, someone's chafis, when it's not his anymore, because it was given over to the Yarshim? So therefore, most of the Paiskim say a will is not al pi halacha enforceable. Now again, you could follow Rav Moshe, no problem whatsoever. You follow Rav Moshe on all the other halachas in the Torah here in America, surely, but you're not the only one involved here. You go to a Beis Din, and the Beis Din will rule not like Rav Moshe for whatever reason it is. It's a problem. Rav Moshe happens to be not the majority opinion in this particular case, and they held that the wills are not something that can be supported al pi din Torah.
Is Rav Moshe just justifying a common practice, or he would have din Torah with
us? I think he would pass my down in din Torah, because that's my opinion, because when he, it was a din Torah. I mean, he the truth was halakha l'maisa. True was halakha l'maisa. Now, Revision is entirely possible now, and I'm sure the other Tzadzayanim would agree with him. It would be hard to argue with him. But in terms of a different entire, I couldn't tell you what they would poskin. And the truth is, in a lot of Dinei Torah, as you're probably well aware, you know, things get confused and it's not so clear. You end up with a pshara. And in this particular case, Rav Moshe, as far as I could see, is a das yachid. The others say it will, has no tzadik, I'll be Dinei Torah. Now, let's just go through a little bit the sugyas on our own to understand the issues, and also to suggest what the Paiskim suggest as practical ways to address the situation. Now, there's really an issue which we have to discuss, which is a Mishnah, that speaks about not the question of whether you can distribute your Yerusha in a different way, but whether you're permitted to do it. There's a different question here. Surely I could solve a person's problem by telling him to give a matana to his daughter. Now, of course, it's not as simple as it sounds, because he gives a present to his daughter, he has to give it right before he passes away. The person doesn't know when he's going to pass away. If he gives it now, that it should be chal a moment before he passes away, which is fine, but it depends on the chosim which he has later. That won't be included in the present, because that's a dover shloi boli oilam. You also have a problem. There are chayvis, money in the bank, kipshutai, is not money that he owns, but the bank owes you money. How do you transfer a chayv to someone else? It has to be done kedasu kedin. So there's no question a person can effectuate that his daughter or some other person could inherit his property, but there's a lot of pitfalls. It has to be done in the correct way. If a person knows that he's going to pass on tomorrow, he could sit down, give presents away, and he'll have no problem that his daughter or his brother, whoever he wants to have the money, will get the money. But in real life, it doesn't work that way. And one of the main problems is, if you give away the estate now, years later, when a person passes on by 120, he accumulated new wealth, that wealth which he accumulated wasn't subject to his akinyan, because we know there's halacha, at least al pi Torah, that a person can't be makna a davar shaloi bali yilam. But let's talk about for a moment, is it correct in doing it? And really, it's a very complicated sugya, even though people do it as a matter of course, but let's see from the sugya. The Gemara says on daf kuf lamed gimel lamed beis in Masechta Baba Basra, Hakosav es nechosav lacherim. A person writes away his estate, the money he owns, to someone else. V'nichas bonav. He left out his children. Masha osa osui. What he did is done. Ela ein ruach hachomim noichemen. But the Chachamim don't get nachas from this particular person, and the Rishbam adds on, Ein Chachamim nachas ruach mamaisav ela charoi nach. He says it's not only a mild form of Ein ruach Chachamim noichemenum, it's charoi nach. The garim shekayisim alav the koaker nachla deraisa. He uproots the nachla deraisa, and the Stechemet has a tremendous arichas. Is this a midas chasidus? Is it davar shel iser? Many paiskim say it's an iser gomer to do this. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, "Im loy hoya banav noigim kashura zachar lataiv." But if son is not conducting himself in the proper way, he should be remembered to good. So we have a machloikis here in the Mishnah. It's definitely also to be maver nachla, to take your inheritance and give it away to someone else, to give it to a daughter, to give it to a stranger, to give it to one son over another son. It's definitely usur. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, if your son is not acting in the proper way, zocher latayv. And the Gemara wants to know, maybe the Tanna Kamma agrees to Reb Shimon, maybe he doesn't agree to Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says, clearly, the Tanna Kamma is chaylik on Reb Shimon, because we find that Shmuel told Reb Yehuda, Shinano, loitahavi be'avuri achsanta, that you should not be involved when someone's giving away the Yerusha to someone else. Va'afilu mebrabisha lebratava, even from a bad child to a good child, the kolshkei mebrabarta, and surely not from a son to a daughter. So the place can say it's clearly, we passing like Shmuel, that it's an iser to give away one's Yerusha, not only from a bad son to a good son. You can't give it from a bad son to a good son. I mean, not from a good son to a bad son, surely, even from a bad son to a good son. And surely you can't give it away from a son to a daughter. And that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, in Simin, Reish, Pei, Aleph, that it's usher to be maver nachla, and it's brought down the memory of Shmuel, like the Habib Avuri Achsanta. You shouldn't be involved when someone is transferring the inheritance.
Before or after Misa.
What?
Before or after Misa.
Well, you can't transfer something after Misa.
You're talking about before Misa.
It has to be before Misa, right. Now, there are two major questions that come from this Gemara. Does the Gemara mean to say that only if you leave out your sons completely? What happens if you leave over something to your sons and you give something to your daughter? Or you leave something to your son and you give something to a stranger? Is that usher? The whole Yerusha in totality has to go to the Yerushim al pi Torah? Or the Gemara only means to say the bulk of the Yerusha, some of the Yerusha, but if you leave something over to your sons and you give the rest to your daughter, it's not usher. That's one shiloh. And another shiloh one could ask, at what point is it usher? Let's say you have a young father, 30 years old, he wants to give a present to his daughter. Is it usher? He wants to put one of his holdings into his daughter's name. Is that usher? When is it going to be usher? From what point? Now, logically, I would say it's usher if it duplicates Yerusha, meaning the intention is that he's giving it somach to his Misa, and the effect and the intent is that his daughter should have it after him, even though he has to do it in practice before he dies, because if he does it after he dies, it is not chal. You can't give away a matana lacher Misa, but Kipshuta, you would say that the whole focus of this Gemara, if he wants to duplicate Yerusha, but surely a person has a daughter and he wants to give his wealth away to his daughter, there's nothing usher. And the other question we also have to be mavar, what does it mean giving it away to a daughter? What does it mean? He can't give even at the time of death anything? Or does it mean if you give all your wealth away? Now, if you look at the Rishbam here, the Rishbam says clearly that the halacha is afil laharbas liyechad ulamayit liyechad. This halacha of avure achsanta is even if you give one more than the other. And it would follow even if you give the daughter something, which means you're not letting the whole Yerusha remain intact. That's how we would see from the Rishbam that it's involves to the extreme. The Yerusha has to remain intact, Alpitaira. If it doesn't remain intact, Alpitaira, you're violating the halacha of Avuriyach Santa, which is a chiddush, and we will see.
If the daughter took care of him most of his life, and the children never were around the sons, and wants to leave everything to the daughter, to, she moved in with them, she helped them.
It's a very human emotional feeling, and we'll see. We'll see. I mean, here we're taking the extreme point that even to leave anything to the daughter is prohibited. And we're going to see if we can gravitate to the sheet that that's not so extreme. Now, there's a very interesting and amazing Gemara in Masechet Ksuvos. The Gemara says in Masechet Ksuvos on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, there is something known as the Ksuvos Bnin Dichrin. Now, let me just explain to you just a moment what it is. If a man wants to give a dowry and the dunya to his daughter, he's nervous. He gives his daughter some money, and then the daughter passes away, and his son-in-law marries someone else, has children from the other wife. Okay, he had children from the daughter also, but has children from a second wife. His hard-earned money is going to be distributed to the children of his son-in-law from the second marriage, right? The case is, the person has a daughter, the daughter marries this fine gentleman, has a child, this daughter of his passes away. After the daughter passes away, the husband, the alman, remarries, and he has other children. What happens when he dies? The money which his wife brought into the marriage, he inherited it, and it's going to be distributed among all his grandchildren, all the grandchildren, not Adopka, his grandchildren, is going to be distributed in such a fashion. So because of that, Chazal made a takana that the Yerusha goes only to the children of his daughter. The Yerusha does not go to the children of his son-in-law from the second marriage. So the Gemara asks Akasha, how could that be? How could you say Chazal or Masak in such a takana? Umik immediate Rachman Amabroli Reis, Bartolaisi Reis. Is there such a possibility that the Torah says a son should inherit? A daughter should not inherit. The Osir Rabbanan, Umisakne de Siris Barta. And the Rabbanan come along and say a daughter inherits. Rashi explains, what do you mean the daughter's inheriting? The daughter didn't inherit anything. The daughter had a matana, a dowry, and she passed away. So Rashi says the intention of the Gemara is that when the father gave the money to the daughter, it's as if the daughter is inheriting. That's what Rashi says, pshat. I don't see how to learn other pshat in the Gemara, but that's what Rashi says, pshat. And we find the Gemara later says that there was a Amoyer Merema, he wanted to give a dowry, and another Amoyer, he wanted to take him along with him, a whole mice, and the same Gemara repeats itself. How could you give a dowry to your daughter? You're giving away the Yerusha from your sons. So the Gemara's teretz is, do you think Yerusha's the Raisa, and giving a dowry to your daughter is not the Raisa? It says in the Pasuk, Chunashim, Vailidu Banim, Ubnais, it says you should marry for your sons, marry for your daughters. It says your sons, you can marry off. They go and find a wife. How does a wife find a husband? The Gemara says it's not the derech for a woman to find a husband. So the Gemara says that you have to give her clothes, you have to give her support, you have to give her a dowry. In order that people should be interested in marrying her. So here the Gemara says the only reason why you give your daughter a dowry is for one reason. Because it's also a kiyum midaraisa to have your daughter get married. And the way you facilitate her marriage is by giving her a dowry. So if you look at this Gemara, it's an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says, number one, that giving a matana to your daughter happens to be a steer into the halach of Yerusha. The daughter was getting married now. He wasn't dying. He wasn't distributing his estate in the sense of an inheritance. He was giving a present to his daughter. So you see from the Gemara that a matana to a daughter is a stira to the halacha of Yerusha. And secondly, there's no mention here in the sugya that he gave away all his money. He left a lot for his sons. The Gemara speaks, you give a tenth for a dowry. So it seems that even giving a partial distribution against the halachas of Yerusha are also prohibited. So this Gemara really is an amazing Gemara. It teaches the Chiddush Nifla that the halacha of Avuri Achsanta not only applies Bishas Misa, it even applies earlier in life. And number two, it applies even with a partial distribution, even though you don't give away your whole money. It's the Gemara Mefureshes. Now, it is an amazing Gemara, and all the Mefarshim and the Shaos and Tshuvas who speak about it try to take the fire out of the Gemara. I saw Diane Weiss in Minzus Gifts, and he says something which really doesn't help us too much. He says you can't give away Nechasim, which are presumably ones you would never sell. It's one you would never sell, that's Avuri Achsanta. But if you give away something that was disposable income, you would have sold it. So therefore, that's a different story. But he seems to be stuck with this Gemara, that the Gemara says you cannot give away a matana b'shas chayim because it's a stira to Dina Yerusha. I saw in the Seichemet, the Seichemet brings down a Netziv on the Shiltas. Seichemet occasionally brings down a Netziv. And he says something, maybe it has to be understood, but at least it allows a person to give a matana when he's alive to someone other than a daughter, other than the Irish. It's not just a daughter. You couldn't give away any matanas. How can a person not give matanas? So you'll tell me substantial matanas, not substantial matanas. What's the gather at Dvarim? You can't give any matanas. Yes?
Obviously, not including Stucker, that would also be the same character as the Gemara on the Dunyas.
It's not including Stucker. Correct. Correct. But past Stucker, we also give matanas. You won't be able to give any matanas past Stucker. Says in its sieve that the whole problem of the Gemara was only because this was a takana de Rabbanan. It wasn't maybe a chiv on the father, but it's something the Rabbanan set up, this halacha that in the dunya goes to the child, to the daughter, and the ones who yarshna her children, not the children of the second wife. So since it was a takana de Rabbanan, the Rabbanan shouldn't have a right to make a takana when it's soiser din a Torah. And that's the whole problem of the Gemara. But for a person on his own to give away a matana when he's young and healthy, and his purpose is not to circumvent Yerusha, but his purpose is simply to give a friend some money. He says, zicha, there is no iser whatsoever. And possibly we could say, that's what the Gemara implies, that if you give away something and you leave something for the din of Yerusha, it's still a contradiction to Yerusha, because in that case, what was he doing? He was giving a dunya to his daughter, but most of the money was left over for regular Yerusha, and still no, the Gemara had a problem. That's also possibly only a kasha. How could the Rabbanan set this system up? Setting the system up is sort of contradicting Yerusha. But for a person on his own volition to give a matana, Machayim, when it's not to circumvent Yerusha, meaning to say he's not giving it away because he wants the recipient to have it after his Ptira, and if he leaves something over for himself, that's also not an Isser Vavuri Achsanta. The whole problem of the Gemara was simply the Rabbanan shouldn't set up such a system. Whether the Svar is so understandable and the difference is so understood, I'm not sure, but at least I'll go upon him, it takes away the two strong rise from this Gemara. Yes?
Why is the Gemara only concerned with the first leg of the transaction from the father?
That's
the
a good Shiloh. That's a good Shiloh. Very good, very good. That's a good Shiloh. They trying to master that Shiloh. In other words, it seemed to bother the Gemara. When I learned this Gemara, I looked it over. I said to myself, the problem is because the sons of the first wife. Right. So it's a shalom of the Gemara. It's a good kasha of the Gemara. The Gemara should be bothered with something more basic. But it seems, unless you say he gave it off nice, that therefore it wouldn't make a difference. I don't know. But Lachur, it's a good shalom. No, but Rashi says no. Rashi says the kasha, how could he give it to his daughter?
No, but
the kasha is how can he give the matana to his daughter? I mean, the way it's mashma mishnah. The kasha is not because later the sons of the daughter will get it, and not the sons of the husband. No, it's his daughter. Then she dies, and the husband gets it, and then the sons of the husband should get it. That was his kasha. It's a stira to Yerusha over there. Yeah.
I love.
What was the question?
No, no, he's just asking Reuven that there's a problem in the Gemara that when the husband dies, the sons of his first wife get it, and not the sons of the second wife. That also seems to be a steer to the halacha of Yerusha. Okay. Al-Kaponim, these are the shilas we have, and that's the question, how much do you build from this Gemara? Now, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, the Ksais HaChayshin brings it down, that there was a minig when they wrote Ishtar Tzava, they left over 4 zuzim for the actual Yairish. It's brought from a Tashpat, from a Baal Ether, and the way it's explained by the Ksais and all the Achrayim, that if they would give away the Yerusha in totality, they'd violate the halacha of Avuri Aksanta. So therefore, they left over 4 zuzim, or 2 zuzim, how much that is, I don't know, in the time of the Rishonim. The Gemara says you need 200 zuzim to live a year, so 2 zuzim, 4 zuzim, whatever it is, they say it was a dover choshev in those days. So therefore, that prevents one from violating the Isser of Avuri Aksanta. See, here we have clearly brought down the Ksais HaKhoishin, and the Achrayim subsequent to the Ksais quote him, that when you give away Yerusha, the Isser is only if you don't leave something over for the actual Yarshin. If you leave something over, and the way the Paiskim say, or Moshin is Igris Moshe writes, a Dover Choshev, then you could give away the money to the not Yarshin. He writes a fifth. Ramesha suggests. So for instance, if a person gives away the nechasa to his daughter, who helped him all his life, and the son is not so interested in leaving over so much money, you could have cases also that one child is wealthier than the other child. So therefore you may feel that you want to give to the child who's not so wealthy, whatever your cheshbon is. So, l'chur, it's a problem. How could you do this? Avuri Achsanta. You're doing an Isser. If you go with the Ksais HaKhoishin's viewpoint, that if you give it away and you leave over for the halach of Yerusha a Dover Choshev, you're not contradicting Avuri Achsanta. Either Gemara over here seems Faker. That's the Kasha. The Gemara in Ksuv is a Sim Faker. That's what I mentioned to you from the Netziv. He tries to say the Gemara was only bothered with this halacha of a takana derabbanan to circumvent and change the laws of Yerusha. But if a person does it on his own, there's no Avuri Achsanta if he leaves over something Choshev. Yeah.
And that Dover Choshev gets divided again among all Yerusha, not just the...
He leaves a Dover Choshev, which he means divided among all Yarshim. Right, right. Exactly, that's what he says. Now,
the... I didn't understand, someone has a krell.
A what?
A son and krell,
yes.
6 kids or more, right. Whatever it is. And all the other sons are all business people,
right.
And have brought up Shem enough the rest of their lives.
Okay.
So the father wants to leave the krell younger man money because he's going to stay the rest of his life in krell or be a Rebbe or...
Right.
So... Is he allowed to do that, or is that...
Well, so based on what I'm saying like this, if he leaves over something which will be distributed equally among the other Yarshim, according to the Ksais HaKhoishin,
the other people don't need his money.
Right, right.
So I'm saying he wants to leave him a bigger chunk.
Well, you know, a fifth being divided and leaving 4/5 is a pretty sizable chunk. If you want to go beyond that, then it's a problem whether he could do that. Now, Bamed Varam Amurim is the other Yarshim object. As we'll see, we'll speak about it in a few moments, but let's say the father says, listen, you fellows have enough money, do you mind if I leave my whole estate to this Yungaman? He says, no, no problem. I mean, there's no issue.
Gets permission from the...
Yeah, there's no issue about Avuri Achsanta, if they're willing, sure. A person leaves over a will, whether the will is Alpi Halacha good or not, as we mentioned before, and the other children don't contest, there's nothing wrong. They say, fine, you know, you could follow the will, it's my pleasure, father wanted this way. What? No, they're saying they could take it. In other words, they're giving you from up time. I don't mind if you take it. That's not Masa Masha Guthara. There's surely no Isser. Unless you'll tell me once they inherit, they give it away. They're right for Avuri Achsanta. But no, once they get the money, and they say, you can take it, Matayu Manayim. This whole problem is when you don't have agreement among inheritors.
That's fine after they get the money, and then they won't want to give it to the Kohen Yehudah brother. But how could the father originally set that up that way?
No, the father could suggest.
The father could suggest.
Yeah, we'll see. There's a mitzvah of Kohen Yehudah. speak about in a moment. But I'm saying, if everyone agrees to the wishes of a father, and they're not going to say, give it to me because it's mine, then there's not a problem.
Yeah.
I assume it's in a Urech Sadr,
as well.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about if they agree that the money, that if they don't agree, then it has to be halachically belong to all the children. It has to be given over kedasha. As I mentioned before, if you're going to exclude dinner of the machusa and you're going to say the will has no taikin, there's no way to do it at this point. It has to be matana. The Sais is talking about it has to be matana. Now, before I just want to discuss an issue or more, just to bring it down to what we do bizman hazeh. At the time of the Rishonim, at least, there was something known as shtar chatzi zachar. A person gave to his daughter a nedunya, and he made her a yairish, like half a son. What does it mean, like half a son? That the sons get one portion and she gets half a portion. If there's, let's say, six children and one daughter, right? So each of the children, you divide it up into 12. She gets 1/12 and they get 2/12. And her 1/12 you have to divide, obviously, among the sons. She gets chatzi zachar. That's called shtar chatzi zachar. And also the custom was that you didn't give the daughter karka, you didn't give her property, and you didn't give her svarim. That was a minig. It seems it was a pretty popular minig. Now, the Achrayim explain, it's brought down from the Marimins, that this was done to avoid the iser of Avur Yechsanta. At one time, they were very concerned about this. Well, how did you avoid it? By making her only half a zacher, it seems they felt they avoided it. By not letting her have any karka or any svarim, they seem they avoided that. What's the point of no karka and no svarim? So the Chasam Sofer writes, no karka, because the Parsha Yerusha speaks about karka, but no svarim. Svarim, that's for the svarim, not for the nekeis. The Nachlas Shiva says that people were more machbid on karka, that it should stay in the mishpacha, and svarim, they were more machbid, it should stay in the mishpacha, and therefore the Achrayim say, subsequent to the Nachlas Shiva, now Shiva, you know, the Sefer from an early Achrayim that has all the shtaris, and he has shtaris of Chatzi Zacher in his Sefer, and he says, therefore, if it was karka that was bought not for personal use, but for business, that's not a problem to give it to her. If it's svarim that were bought for personal use, that's not a problem. Some say if it was karka that he bought and he didn't inherit, that's not a problem. But without mulling over the details too much, at one time, they took this Avur Yechsanta very seriously, and they constructed the Shtar Chatzi Zacher, which we'll explain at the end in the context of today, that it is very important not to be over this din, and therefore they made her half a Zacher, no Karka, no Moyes. How that would hold out today, I'm not sure. But this is exactly what they did. Okay. Now, let's grant it that someone is going to follow the sheet of the Ksais HaChais. And I don't think I'm telling you any chidushim if I tell you most people, I think, leave to their daughters like they leave to their sons, more or less. I imagine, you know, whether you subscribe to the Merah Mintz or not, but I think the Olam goes like the Ksais HaChais in any event. I think that is the Minig Olam. And I saw the Gesher HaChaim writes that he was privy, or he was present by a dintayr, or by a family situation, that a very wealthy person passed away. He left all his money to his sons. He left nothing to his three daughters. Nothing. And he gave the Bechor Pishnayim. And he says there was machloikis in that family till this present day. And the Torah brings down, when he speaks about the halachas of Uriah Santa, he says, Lo'ilam al yishana ben habonim. Because of two sloyim milas, we just have in this week's parsha, there was such a machlokes. So he writes, obviously, that is appropriate to give a daughter like you give a son, which I think is the minhag ha'olam. Even though there's a letter they quote from the Chazon Ish, if I use the word, he blasts this type of anhaga, but I'm not too sure if he was against it on a personal level, but it seems at one time they wanted to institute a takana in the kehila that should be that way. And he blasts at you. You know, the person does on his own, if I understood the letter correctly, is one thing, you know, but to make a takon in the tila that it should be promulgated against in Torah, and then he writes, the gam moran hagayvit mebris, he's giving me. The Brisk Rav also agrees with me. You don't find the Chazon Ish usually summons up help. Here he says, the gam moran hagayvit mebris, he's giving me. But maybe that was talked about in the case where they wanted to create it, a takon in the tila, and sort of forget about the halach of the Torah. But anyway, these are the issues. You do find that Brahim say Aburiyach Santa is a very real halacha today, and I'm showing you from the Chatzi Zohar, from the Merimins, that they didn't just give away the Nechassim to the daughter equal like the Zohar, but you do find his Achrayim say, especially today, that there'll be machlaikis, and the halacha basis for it is the Tzaisach Haishin. Tzaisach Haishin says clearly that if you leave over a Dabar Chosha for Yerusha, there is no problem. The Tzaisach Haishin says that way, and the Gemara Ksuvah you have to deal with, so we dealt with in the Siv, but the Ksuvah question had a way to deal with the Gemara in one way or the other.
Ben Min Abonim, he means the daughter of the throne.
No, he just applies it. No, Ben Min Abonim means that you can make machlaikis.
Right.
So the Gesher Chaim just applies it. Today you make machlaikis with the daughters. No, because the Torah is talking about giving away to another son, not your son. No, the Torah is talking about.
This idea that the Chadamish was talking about a kind of that speculation on your part? Or that
well, that's how it reads the letter. It's a letter printed of Simon Samach Love in Igris Chazanish. I mean, I read the letter. It sounds like, you know, the Chazanish just gives his letter. He doesn't say what he's responding to. So you have to visualize the question. It sounded like they wanted to make some sort of anhaga. How could they make the anhaga? I'm not sure. A minig, you know, let's say a kilu and the will of Zayin will come out. This is the way it should be. People presumably would follow it, whether they'd have to follow it or they would follow it. He was against, I think, doing some sort of creation like that. He says, you can't change it entirely publicly on a personal basis. If you want to do it, fine, based upon your family situation. But to do it b'tayrus takana and to change his entire, that he seems to be very much against. What?
No, the
Chatzi Zohar, right? I'm saying the Chatzi Zohar. I'm saying, but when you go with the size, it's not even that.
Yeah,
I'm saying. So if you ask me the minigai, you tell me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe by your circles it's different. Maybe it is. I don't know. I would assume. I'm just assuming. I don't know. I can't tell you. But I'm not saying there are no sheets. Aburiyach Santa is a Mishnah. You can't get rid of a Mishnah as much as you try. There is a Mishnah, Aburiyach Santa. But you do have a Tzaisach Haishin. And you do have the Marmins that say you can't give more than half. Tzaisach Haishin says if you leave over something for Yushim and Tyra, it's fine. So, you know. And if you ask me, what do people do? I don't know. I can assume that it's more or less done that way. But like Avremi says, I'm sure maybe people make differences in terms of the wealth of each child. They probably have different cheshbonos. Maybe they take cheshbonos also. If you have a special karsa type to a particular child, but you have to be worried also what the Chazal say. You shouldn't do that.
To teach
nine,
the
men that
was
also
like
the Chazal. What?
To teach nine for the Chazal, also like the
Chazal. I tell you, the men that go, you got to check it out. I just assume yes, but I don't know. I don't know. He brings this is the mice of the Gesher Chaim begins. He's got the final word on everything. In Hilchas Avelis, he's very popular. In Hilchas Yerusha, I don't know. But he says he knows the story. The guy did it in Tzara. Two sons, Pishnayim, girls, nothing. He says they're fighting till this very day. He says terrible Sinna and Tachris came out from that. Now let me mention something also. This halacha of Aburiyach Santa applies to Tzedakah also. But yet, you find in Hilchas Yaradeya that when a person is about to pass on, he can give stock, and there's no din of Ayavazvi's Yosem Achaymish. Now, why not? It's quite simple. Why am Avazvi's Ayavazvi's Yosem Achaymish? Shem Yisarek Lebrius. When a person's passing on to the Olam HaEmes, he's not going to need any money. That's for certain. So he can give it away. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, and others agree with him, maybe not with his exact amount, you can give away up to half. Give away up to half. And they bring a Gemara, Mar Ukva, he says, Hachinoisi Tzei Dekal L'derech Harucha. Hachinoisi Tzei Dekal. I prepared myself a little bit of a dinner, a little bit of a tzeda for my long trip, and he gave away half his nechassim. So the etzim, Aburiyach Santa, how do you pronounce it again? Achsanta. applies also to giving tzedakah. It's kemat mefurish in the Gemara in the staff of the Baba Basra. But to give away up to half, it says you're allowed to do it. And I see Rav Moshe writes in the Sefer, what's the svara? During your lifetime, you can spend money for drink, and no one says you're giving away your Yerusha, right? You know, there's the Gemara in Kedushin that said the father was throwing his money overboard. So he objected the son. You know, what are you doing? The question is giving covet to his father or not. So the Gemara says, Kibbut of is Michelle. We paskin Michelle of. He says, here's Michelle of. It's his own money. Somebody says, what do you mean? He goes to get it. That's considered Michelle Ben. That's not considered Michelle Ben. Till the person, the son, has the money, it's the father's money. The father has a right to do with what he wants. So says Ramesha in one of his shuvas, you can spend money during your lifetime for all types of pursuits and pleasures. To give tzedakah after Misa or Samach Misa, how could that be a Ruach Santa that happens to be for his neshama? That's something important also. He's giving it away for himself. Darach HaShulchan writes up to half, some say up to a third, but whatever it is, that's also a consideration in these halachas. No, I don't think so.
No. Can he leave it to his children? Does it give it distributed for him? He doesn't have to distribute
it. Well, it depends how you're going to do it. If your children are going to own it and it's just you commanded them to do it, then...
Because you have enough issue will be around.
Yeah, you could do that. It depends how you do it. You give it. Does the tzedakah own the money or the children own the money just listening to your wishes? Nah, you could do it that way. Okay, so let's just go on just to an inyan or two to finish up this shiloh. Now, we spoke about the taikif of wills, right? You know, the Velt says, where there's a will, there's a way. But with a will, there might be a way. It's not done off eternity, as I mentioned before. Many paiskim don't give a lot of credibility to a will. Yes, I'm wrong.
How about setting up a Yerusha as a trust
Where when
you're not...
Well, I have to consult with my lawyer to find out what a trust means. Who owns the trust? The dead person? Dead people can't own things. That's a whole different area. I don't know. I once read, you know, a guy passed away. He loved his cat. He left his money to his cat. Like, you know, I'll be sincere. I don't think that works. I don't think a cat can own money. So, you know, even with Dina de Malchus and Dina, you know, I'm not too sure. You have to know the fine and I'll walk with a trust. So let's hold off on that.
In America, it works.
It works, yeah, but I'll be sorry. That money's Hector. You can go take it, you know. Cat won't have any akpada. In any event, assuming the will is not a will, I'll be halacha. And the halacha of Yerusha, the state of New York or any other state, has no toikif in halacha. So what could be done, what is done, what is the halacha if nothing is done? Now there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch that speaks about mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. And if you look at Reb Chaim Moshe's tshuva, he deals with this extensively. He obviously felt that the will itself has no taikif, but maybe it has a taikif with mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. The Gemara in Gittin on Daf Yud Gimel, Tesvav, speaks about mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. What does that mean? There's a mitzvah upon the people who inherit the money to follow the wishes of the dead person. A very important halacha. Now, what does that mean? Is it only a mitzvah, or is the tzivui of the father, or the person who's passing away, binding in chayshe mishma, meaning is there a transfer of property? That's a machlekes rishayim. Taisus shittah is the guy who brings down that mitzvah kind of a mess is actually hakna. It's given over. It's not just a mitzvah, but what the person who's dying, and he says it's when he's healthy, he says he doesn't have to be a shchimer, he doesn't have to be dying. He's a healthy person. So therefore, his tzivui is really a kinyan after misasay, mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. Other Rishonim hold mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames simply means it's a mitzvah enforceable by Beis Din, but not a kinyan and not a transfer. So we'll take that second shita, which is mefurish in Shulchan Aruch. If a person leaves over a tzavah that I want my daughter to get an equal part, afterwards they come to Beis Din, here, my father said I get an equal part. One second, will al pitayra is not a will. The laws of the state of New York doesn't have any effect upon Tyra, but mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. And Beis Din will tell the fellow that he has to respect what it says in the will. That's fine. And Beis Din will force him. Well, how they force a person. But there's one problem. Taisus says, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames is only if the property or the money was mushlish to a shlish, it was given over to a third party with the intention that it should be held for the person who inherits, or the person who you directed your tzivui to, which basically puts a will in jeopardy because the money is not hushlish anywhere. The money is in your bank account, or the money is in some sort of other investment. So therefore, it doesn't seem to be a practical vehicle. However, Reb Chaim Eiser says that in his opinion, it's very possible. Why do you need hushlash? For what reason? You need hushlash in order that the tzivu should be in the mind of the giver something definitive. I give away the money and I say, here, hold it for this person. That's something definitive in the mind of the giver. Since there's a din of the mahusa today, that they respect the will, so therefore the will has a din of hushlash, even though it wasn't hushlash. That's what Reb Chaim Moiser wants to say. And he had a whole shayla there, halacha lemaisa, and he was metzaded with this. Yeah.
Trust should be like a shlish.
Yeah, I have nothing against it. It's given over a shlish. It's in trust for the child. Yeah, but the only thing is, it an irrevocable? You can take it back, but irrevocable trust surely is good. I mean, but a regular shlish, you can take back. Yeah.
Are you allowed? I know of cases today where the wills and trust being done for very wealthy families, where the interest only goes to the children, even after the father passes away. So dearest, the money stays in the family. And just the interest gets distributed, whatever the money earns. Is that considered?
I'll tell you, that has to be examined. I'm not sure. The father passes away. Who owns the money? That's what I don't know. You have to refine. So you have to,
They'll never get the money because there's a car cut.
In halacha, you have to define what a trust is. Someone has to own the money in halacha. Who owns the money?
The show.
He doesn't own the money.
No,
he's only who owns the money?
There's a new thing that was invented, not by halacha.
Okay, so that's the question. I don't know. I mean, you have to define how a trust would be in halacha. Who's going to own it? You have to answer that question. Once you answer that question, you know, it's going to veer over here. Let me just finish this. It's getting a little bit late, and we have also another very interesting share coming up. In any event, that's what Reb Chaim Eiser said. Reb Chaim Eiser writes at the end, "Mikol makom loymatzasi gilui l'din zeh." I didn't find a gilui for this din, meaning to say, I hold that way up isvara, but I didn't find the gilui. Since I didn't find the gilui, so he doesn't seem to want to depend on it. Halacha l'maisa. I see a lot of later writers say, according to Reb Chaim Eiser, mitzvah kaim divrei ames, so therefore a will could be respected in halacha, and bezin will enforce it based upon mitzvah kaim divrei ames. I don't see it so clearly. Reb Chaim Eiser says lematzasi gilui din zeh. Number one. Number two. It says in Shulchan Aruch, what happens if the yarshim are very quickly and they sell the mechasim to someone else? That's it. There's no mitzvah kaim divrei ames anymore because they have a new owner. What happens if the yarshim are ketanim? Says Rabbi Kiveger, there's no mitzvah kaim divrei ames because the yarshim are ketanim. You know, so it's something that is not such a simple vehicle to depend on. Now, what do some do? Let me just end off with this last thought. What do some do in order to redistribute the inheritance based upon the halachas of Avuri Achsanta, if it's permitted, based upon that discussion? You could really do the Chatzi Zocher by doing it as Zocher Shalom. What do I mean? You really have no problem to write over, let's talk about a daughter, because probably the daughter is the most common case. You have no problem writing over to the daughter, let's say there's three children, a third of your wealth. No problem. But I told you there's pitfalls. What happens to money you get later? That's Dover Shaloi Bali Yoilam. How do you machna that? There's chayvis, you have to be machna, you have to make sure you have the right kinyonim. But surely money which you get later after the writing of the shtar is a problem because it's a Dover Shaloi Bali Yoilam. So what do? You generate a chayv to your daughter, which is much larger than your whole estate. You know, you cushion it generously. And you say, I am giving my daughter, and it has to be done correctly with the proper hilchasnai, I'm giving my daughter X amount of money as a present a moment before I die. That you could do, right? It's definitive, it's not the overshlovi yaylam, it's creating an obligation. However, if the other inheritors, meaning the sons in this case, will be kind enough to respect my will, which I wrote over here and I have assigned, and I signed, and they give my daughter part of the will as it's written there, which really means with matana, then I cancel the obligation I generated to my daughter. So what you have over here is really just leverage over the sons that they have to give up the Yerusha to the daughter. Because they can say, we won't do it, Aburi Achsata, or whatever title they'll have. Very nice, but then you owe your sister a chayv from our father far more than all the Yerusha is worth. So this basically, you know, I imagine in law could work also, you know.
It's my last Chamisa.
What? No, you made it Shachas Chamisa.
We don't know if
that's all that's nice in the future. Hurry up, Magresh, I'm Menashe, Tayyid Shamim tomorrow. That's nice always in the future.
I don't know, but here we're not going to know if the other brothers are going to respect the wishes until after their father's death.
I'm saying that doesn't mean that. No, it's nice for something occurring after Misa. It can't be Achnol after Misa. But in Meit Achnol Mechayim and the Tnoil after Misa, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. So basically, what do you do with this? What are you accomplishing? You're accomplishing that you make a debt to your daughter, and your daughter will claim the debt in the event that the brothers don't comply with your wishes. Now, your wishes have no toikif in halacha, because the will is nothing, but it makes no difference, because the wishes are the kiyum atznai. If you listen to the wishes, there is no hakna. If you don't listen to the wishes, there is hakna. Presumably, this could be enforceable in Bezin, surely. If it's not enforceable in courts, it doesn't matter. In court, you always got the will. But in any event, presumably it's enforceable in court also. I don't know what's wrong about making such a thing, no?
It's like a shadis chayvus for b'chor. And it is enforceable.
Right, yeah. You know, why not? You're making a debt to someone based upon what happens. This is something which is used bizman hazeh, and this takes care of all the shilas in terms of the effectiveness of redistributing the wealth. It doesn't take care of the shilah of riachanta, obviously, that we spoke about the other paiskim. But in terms of the mechanical transferring of the property, that there shouldn't be any question whether it's transferred or not, this is a vehicle, and this comes back from the shtar chatzi zocher. This is the shtar chatzi zocher. The only thing is today, we're not talking about a star Chatzi Zocher, we're talking about a star Zocher Shalom. Okay. Rabbi Yolt is here. Oh. Very okay. Shalom Aleichem. I spoke on the phone. Yeah, what's the name of it? Now you tell me. I could have used it yesterday. Anyway, credit for coming. Rabbi Yolt is the Av Bezdin of Beis Yosef Bezdin in Brooklyn, which I'm personally familiar with his reputation, and he's going to discuss with a very interesting topic, which discusses exactly how Bezdin works, the halacha of going to Bezdin, and all the details, which are very interesting and very negayah. Shkayach for coming. What's the...